As I begin, let's just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for the ministry of Habakkuk and its importance that he wrote it down and shared with us. And thank you for the questions that he was brave enough to ask. Because Heavenly Father, those are the same questions that we are often asking of ourselves, even today. And so pray as we go through this, may you teach us, for we pray in your name, amen. Habakkuk chapter 2, I'd like to look at this morning. So if you found it in your Bible, you can turn to Matthew, and then I believe it go back five books. You can find the book of Habakkuk. And we want to talk about hope and despair. And I've called this message, The Worth of Waiting. And so let's examine this together. All of us experience times of waiting in our lives. We recently came through this Christmas season, and you who have young kids will have experienced this waiting and how hard it is to try and get across to children the time frame that is involved. And so maybe you've come up with different systems that you have developed to try and express to children, how long to this wait that they have to wait. And so we talk about five sleeps. Maybe we use that. Or maybe we have a system where we say, so-and-so is coming, and when so-and-so gets there, then we will enjoy this Christmas experience. We had this experience in Papua New Guinea as well, is that we tried to figure out how far something is away. And so they would use an expression, and it didn't mean much to us, because they would say, oh, I'm a long way leak, or emi no long way to mas, is what they would express to us. But what does that communicate? It means it's not a long ways. We would use in our language, well, it's 50 miles. Well, that means nothing to them. Or we would say it takes 3 hours. Well, that doesn't mean much to them either, especially when they're trying to express length of time to somebody from North America who takes a lot longer to walk a distance than they do. And so we would then we would kind of go to, long way to mas, or are we trying to get them to express to us? And we would find out that it was yet still a long ways away. So we all have different systems that we use to try and express this time of waiting. See, the sense of time was not developed, so we would use this multiple ways in our kids' lives to try and express to that. With this, we would keep our eyes open so that they would not prematurely open their gifts and as well. And so you keep your eye to make sure that they're not over there rattling the presents, seeking to look and see what's inside. My parents would only set the gifts out the night before, because maybe they knew that we were not people that waited very effectively, and so they would just put them in different piles for us kids. We all experience times of waiting in our lives. Some are relatively short, while others are much longer, and some are indefinitive. We wait for the traffic light to change. We wait for our online orders to come in. And some of us are waiting in prayer with various requests. And for some of us, we have been in prayer for a very long time, many years waiting for an answer. And for some of us, we have given up believing that an answer is going to come. And maybe there is some prayer requests in your life that you're praying for today. And you've been praying for them for a long time. Because I know I've got things that I pray for as well, that seemingly asking God that God would intervene in their lives. And I'm not sure how long it's been, but I'm sure it's been well over a couple years already, continuing to pray that God would intervene in this person's life. We may have made requests of the Lord and we walked away and we've forgotten all about him. Maybe at one time you had some requests in your life that you were talking to the Lord about, and over time you've just seemingly forgotten about them and you've moved on to other things. And so we've developed a culture of instant gratification, and we've carried it into our prayer lives, and when the answer does not come in our time frame, we walk away and we either seek to answer in our own power or we grow disenchanted with prayer altogether. And maybe you are at that place this morning where prayer is disenchanted in your life. No longer is it a major focus in your life. No longer do you put much time towards prayer in your life, because maybe your answer would be, why? I prayed for this in the past. God didn't seemingly answer as we've walked away from prayer. So I'm not sure where you are this morning, but Habakkuk would like to share some truths with us this morning in this whole area of prayer. And so if you got your Bibles open to Habakkuk chapter 2, I want to read verses 1 through 4, Then I want to skip down to go to verse 13 and then read the final verse 20. Habakkuk chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Moving down to verse 13. Is it not indeed from the Lord of hosts that people toil for fire and nations grow weary for nothing? And then moving on to verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Down to verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Habakkuk had made a couple of requests of the Lord for answers to some troubling things upon his heart. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear me? And maybe that's a call of you, upon your heart as well. God, how long will I cry for this need or that need? How long will I cry for the salvation of this soul or that soul in your family? And maybe that's a prayer request that you are asking of the Lord. Habakkuk was looking at them as a nation because he came in 607 BC, shortly before they were taken into captivity. And he was witnessing and was a witness to all the immorality that was going on across the nation. And his heart cried out to God, God, how long are you going to allow this to continue? And we look at the immorality of our own society nowadays. If you are familiar at all with the news, you can turn it on very quickly and you can see it's a troubling world out there. And maybe the cry of our hearts to this time, this year, how long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear me? Secondly, why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? God responded in chapter 1 to him in his first question that he had. And he said he was raising up a nation that was going to come and bring punishment. And when he mentioned the nation, he said, why that nation of all peoples? Why would you utilize an immoral group of people to bring the judgment upon us? And although Habakkuk was asking these questions around the year 607 BC, they are not out of place in our day and age as well. We have recorded for us God's response to the first question in chapter 1, and chapter 2 responds to the second question. See, Habakkuk must have been persistent in prayer as he uses a time reference in his question, when God will respond. When will you respond? And it's almost assumed in the question is that he must have been praying over a length of time. And we're not told exactly how long that time was. But he had been faithful in continuing to pray for that. And we see God's response is written down for us. In chapter 2, we see his response as he anticipates God's answer to a second question. When you ask God, God, why will you use the nation of Babylon to bring that judgment? And so we see as we open up chapter 2 here, I will stand on my guard post. It is the picture of one standing firm in anticipation of a response. Habakkuk realizes that there is only one source for the answer, and that is God. So he makes a choice of his will that he will wait for the answer to come. And he determines that he is going to wait upon God for the Lord's response to this question. He's not told how long it's going to be. But by faith, he moves forward and continues to stand, and he stands firm. It would be tempting to run around seeking an answer from lots of learned sources or to find a comfortable chair from which to do the waiting. And that would probably be more my style. I'm going to find a comfortable chair because it sure would be a lot easier to sit instead of stand. But he determines that he is going to stand. Jesus in the garden asked his disciples to stay awake and pray, but he came back and found them sleeping as well. They didn't stand. They didn't stay awake. They didn't continue in prayer. They allowed sleep to take over. Well, if you're standing and sleep takes over, you soon have a rude awakening if you fall over. So he determined, no, I'm going to stand in a watchful manner. He uses the language of a watchman standing on the rampart, standing on the wall, or standing on the tower, keeping a lookout. Habakkuk made a deliberate this choice to keep a lookout, to keep his eyes open and to keep his ears open so that he would not miss the answer that he was confident would come. Remember Elijah, the story of Elijah when he ran south, I think it was over 40 days, and came to this mountain. God met him in that cave. The thunder came, the lightning came. God wasn't in that. And it was a still small voice. As soon as he heard that, he knew this was the voice of God. And so then he went out to the entrance and spoke to God. And so he was waiting for God's response as well. He was not going to give this job to someone else, but he personally will remain fixed until the answer comes. He was determined that if he asked the question, then he was going to stand and stand firmly. Impatience is never an excuse for disobedience. Often when God does not respond in our time or act in the way we would want him to, we stop serving him as if faith is negotiable. God, I'm going to continue to be faithful as long as you keep responding. And we almost like negotiate or we blackmail God with our response from that. We often walk away and we seek answers from others and forget about waiting for God's response. The duty of a watchman is a duty of being alert until being relieved of the duty. We are not told of the length of time for God to respond to Habakkuk's question, but he was going to be faithful to wait. How long have you been waiting in prayer for God to respond to your call upon him? Habakkuk would say, continue to stand. Continue to be faithful to stand. The duty of a watchman is a duty of being alert until being relieved of the duty. We're not told of the length of time, but he was going to continue to be faithful. Daniel sought the Lord for three weeks. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel sought the Lord on a request. The answer didn't come for 3 weeks later there. And as the angel responded to Daniel, he said, yes, the answer was given immediately. But it took 3 weeks because there was much behind the scenes that delayed the response coming. We're not sure why God has not answered your request as of yet. But I'm sure his call upon us would be continue to stand. But the Lord responded in verse 2, but not in the way that Habakkuk had asked. He had asked for an answer to the why, but the Lord responds with the how. The Lord does not rebuke him for asking the question. And we see often in the book of Psalms that David over and over again asks questions of God. And God responds to him, and he doesn't respond to him with guilt. But God loves for us to ask him questions that are upon our heart. He already sees our heart, but he desires for us to relate in fellowship with him. And one of the ways we do that is by asking questions. Secondly, in verse 2, God responds to him. He says, he answered me and he said, record the vision, write it down. Habakkuk is told to write down the vision in a manner that would be easily read, but also that it might be able to be carried by a runner. The importance of writing down when God responds. And here he asks Habakkuk, write this down, what I'm going to share with you, because it's important that we write things down. Because you know, often when God answers in prayer over our years, and as we continue to walk the road of faith, we come to another challenge, and all of a sudden it seemingly is an insurmountable in our lives. And if we had written it down, we would be able to look back and say, God, you are faithful here. God, you are faithful here, and I know I can trust that you will be faithful in this situation as well. Because it was recorded. We wrote it down. See, the vision was not for the immediate, but it was for the appointed time. The first invasion by Babylon came in 605 BC, but the five woes that are pronounced will not be fulfilled until about 539 BC, when the Persians defeated the Babylonians. We have an enemy who steals and removes from us what God gives to us. So Habakkuk, make sure that you write this down. We have an enemy who seeks to remove God's word from our lives. And so the importance, as God speaks, as God moves in our hearts, that we write things down so that we can look back, that we can read it, that we can heed it, for it will not fail. Revelation 1 verse 3 says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. The blessings of heeding the words that are given to us. Times of uncertainty need clarity. Times of uncertainty need the clarity of God's word. The word of God is for each of us. It is God who appoints the time for each event's schedule, which was formed before the foundations of the world, and he cannot be hastened. When the appointed time comes, all visions will be accomplished. We can rest, we can trust in the fact that when God's word, we can rest in the truth of it, it will take place in its appointed time. It might not be for the immediate, and for Habakkuk, it wasn't for the immediate as well. He had to wait, the nation had to wait over for many years before God fulfilled the vision. Thus, to keep reading, keep trusting and resting in God's word. Daniel 8, verse 19, he said, "Behold, I'm going to let you know what will occur at the final period of the indignation, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end." And so throughout the book of Daniel, God over and over again shared with Daniel some truths that were for the appointed time. And so we read them today, and we can look forward to one day they will be fulfilled in God's appointed time. The tension between God's timing and human time is evident from the list of temporarily related words that he uses in this verse here, verse 3. "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay." Those words there are for us today as we trust God to fulfill his appointed events. His word to us is it will not fail. We can trust that it will take place. It will certainly come. Waiting becomes a matter of faith as the Lord informs Habakkuk that he must wait. And so then thirdly, we're to stand. Secondly, we are to write it down. And then thirdly, we are to wait. Trust in his time. The vision has an appointed time, and it was not immediate, and Habakkuk would have to wait. God is never confused in our confusing times. God is not stalling, trying to figure out his next move. And so in God's delaying, and God's seeming delay, is not because God doesn't know exactly what to do, but he has things in an appointed time for us. The events that he describes throughout the book of Daniel are for the appointed time. We can trust him in those appointed times that are coming. Trust in God's time without giving deadlines. God's time might not be our time. Waiting becomes a matter of faith as the Lord informs Habakkuk that he must wait. Patience is an act of the will. Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, "For from days of old they have not heard or perceived by ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who acts in behalf of the one who waits for him." God is in the business of acting, even in our seeming waiting periods. In our waiting, it is not that God is not acting, and when things look chaotic in our world, it is not that God is not sovereign or acting. It may be simply that the point of time has not arrived. We turn the news on, we see chaos round about us. And even this past week, more seeming chaos taking place. If you've been witnessing the news and the situation that's going between Iran and Pakistan in the past few days. What's been going on in the Red Sea, seemingly chaos. And we all of a sudden, we're just waiting for the next shoe to fall. And where is that chaos going to expand to? It is not that God is not acting. It is not that God is unaware of what is going on around this world. And so, as I shared already, these repeated assurances in verse 3, it hastens toward the goal. It will not fail, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Is a reminders to us. It is coming. We can rest. We can trust in who our God is, and that his word is secure. His word will be carried out. We are people who need to be reassured of the truth that God always carries out his word and his promises to us will take place. In the meantime, we have a choice or contrast presented to us that we can either be a proud one with our hearts not right within us, or we can, as righteous ones, live by faith. And so here we see one of the instances of this passage that we see repeated throughout the New Testament, I believe on three different occasions, but the righteous will live by his faith. How do we identify the righteous? How can you picture somebody who's righteous? First of all, gaining the character of Christ in their lives, but then also through their faith is a testimony as well. And your testimony of waiting upon the Lord is an evidence to, and a testimony to others of your righteous life as we wait upon him. We can live with uncertainty and anxious thoughts, or we can live by faith. because of the truth of whose we are and his work of justifying us and securing us in his family. We can walk in faith believing because of who our God is. And as we continue to grow in our knowledge, our faith continues to grow as well. And so, yes, we have the positional truth of faith in our lives, but then we have the progressive strengthening. As God allows us times of waiting in our lives, we gain strength to continue to believe and continue to trust in him. During that time, we also gain in our knowledge of who our Savior is. And I can trust him that what he says is true. What he says will be carried out. By faith, we are justified, and by faith, we live. By faith, we stand, and by faith, we walk as well. We've entered into this relationship that we have with Christ as one of his children by faith. And then he asks us to continue to walk in faith with him. For the nation of Israel, there were hard days ahead. But these five woes presented in verse 6, 9, 12, 15, and 19 will take place, but not until the appointed time. The Babylonian nation will come to defeat at the hands of the Persians, but there is also a future fulfillment in the tribulation millennium when the revised Babylonian Empire will be defeated. And as verse 14 states, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. There's coming a day when his glory will be in full display as he sets up his millennial kingdom. The nation of Babylon will be defeated, and he will come and he will reign upon this earth. We can look forward to that day coming. And so in the meantime, we wait as well. We can look forward in faith to this appointed time one day. Habakkuk ends this chapter in verse 20, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The Hebrew word for silent is the word hush. Habakkuk needed a right perspective on what God was doing in his world. Although it is good to pray about these things, it is also good to be still and know that he is God. And so he says for us here, hush. He's in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. The Lord emphasized two truths about himself. God is just. The five woes made it clear that God knew the sins of his people and he would deal with them in due time. He hates pride, selfishness, murder, drunkenness, lust, idolatry. And so God wants to respond to Habakkuk, I'm a just God. I'm going to bring the woes into the right appointed time. God indeed is just. Nothing is escaping his awareness of what is going on around this world. And then secondly, God is faithful. We see in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, verse 14 and verse 20 reveals this trait. You can trust him because his character never changes and his word never fails. It may not seem that way now, but one day his glory will be revealed in all the earth. And we can trust him for the appointed time when that will take place. When I am tempted to worry, rush to judgment, tempted to be critical, rash, I need to hush. And it comes with the ability of me gaining who my God is and who I'm resting in. When answers do not come quickly, be silent. When you cannot trace God's hand in something, trust him. Do not let uncertainty lead to instability, for the righteous will live by his faith. The just will live by his faith because that is how we know who they are. We do not know much about Habakkuk, but he was a prophet for a critical period in the history of the Jewish nation. He seemingly came on the scene a couple years before the first group went in, was taken by the Babylonians. They had turned their backs on their covenant-keeping God, and the warning, if they were not faithful, was soon to come. They had been in covenant relationship with their Heavenly Father. They had agreed, as long as you are faithful, I will bless you. But if you depart from me, then I will bring punishment, bring justice upon you. Justice was coming. The Babylonian nation was on their doorstep, and they were a cruel people, as the five woes of this chapter lays out for us. The nation was soon to go into captivity and experience life on a vastly different scale. Habakkuk shows us what it looks like to live by faith in a confusing and cruel time. The questions he asks are questions for our time. How long will I call for help and you will not hear? A question for us today. How long will I call and you not respond? As you pray for the needs that are going on around this world, God, how long? God's answer for us, stand, write it down, and wait. Can we learn how to wait? We can if we get to know who the person is that we're waiting for. We are called to stand on our station and watch for God's response. When God responds to your cry, make sure you write it down. It will continue to be an encouragement for you, but also to others who have the same question. Then wait with faith for the appointed time. It will not fail. It will certainly come. It will not delay. In the wait, we can worship him because he does respond to our cries from his holy temple. We do not escape his notice, and the events happening in the world have not escaped his notice. There is woe coming to the appointed time for this world. And so as we look at this world's events, there's a time of woe coming. God will respond in the appointed time. We, his children, need to learn how to wait. His word to Habakkuk is his word for us. Be astonished, wonder, because I am doing something in your days you would not believe if you were told. And in the waiting time is not that God is not moving, is not that God is not responding. I'm sure if we opened our eyes and we saw, as Elisha prayed for his servant, that his eyes might be open, we would be amazed. We'd be astonished at all that he is about and all that he is doing yet around us. I'll call our worship team up for one last song. So let's lift our voices in worship to him in the wait. And so as God has you in a period of waiting, continue to remain trusting in him. And so let's just close this time in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the message that you've left for us. As we experience life and we experience different events in our lives, that many of us here are praying about different things in our lives. Heavenly Father, keep us faithful to trust, to wait upon you in the waiting. And we're going to trust you in and through that. We pray in your name. Amen.